Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. You know, The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that offenders might face when they're coming out of prison, coming home from incarceration, and it's for them and their families and the people who love them and care about them. And we've got a very special program today. September is Suicide Prevention Month, and we're going to be addressing the issue of suicide. Very serious. And I think you're going to get a lot of information from our guest today. Our guest is a gentleman by the name of Samuel Key. He's written a book called Hope Stands, 10 Reasons Why You Must Not Give Up. This is an excellent book. It's an important program, and we're going to get after it right after this on The Journey of Hope.
Please come to Boston for the springtime.
Hey, y'all. Just want to let you know about some of the shows we've got scheduled in the next few weeks here on The Journey of Hope. We've got Diane Cycle, who's going to be talking about how to guarantee success. We've got Eleanor Stutz coming up. She's got a book out called Hired. We've got an excellent author, Donna Marie Thompson, Dr. Donna Marie Thompson, and she's written a book called Bouncing Back from Loss. Excellent book. We've got Carl Mathis, who's coming up with a book called Life is What You Make It, 7 Steps to Moving Forward. And we've got Kenneth Ween, who's going to be talking about his book, Memoirs from the Asylum. All of these authors have especially targeted you and me, and they've got excellent things to say to us as ex-offenders. So you're going to want to be sure and stay tuned for those shows coming up in the next few weeks right here on The Journey of Hope.
We'll move up into the mountains so far that we can't be found, and throw our love you echoes down the canyon, and then lie awake at night until they come back around. Please come to Denver, she said no. Boy, would you come home to me?
Samuel Key. He's written a book called Hope Stands, 10 Reasons Why You Must Not Give Up. Sam has devoted a ministry to people who feel hopeless and the people who love them. Sam, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rodney. Thank you.
I guess the first thing I'd like to talk about is I noticed in a communication I had with your publisher that there was a noticeable increase in suicides among baby boomers. Do we have any idea why that is?
Well, the baby boomers, and they're just starting to get to the point in their life where there's a lack of sense of belonging, mm-hmm. as many have divorced or maybe feel disconnected from people or organizations in their lives. So this sense of a lack of belonging is absolutely huge. And they're also at an age where they feel, quite frankly, as a burden to a lot of people and to their families and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that can be combined with age or the economy, things like that. So whenever a person has this sense of feeling like they're a burden or this lack of belonging, it just really increases the chance for suicide as a threat. Mm-hmm.
How did you arrive at a point where this was a calling for a ministry for you? How did that happen?
Well, I'm a pastor, and I work with students and families, and it was really just, I didn't really ask for the calling or seek it out. It's just something that I kept observing along the way as I work with young people, and I just kept noting the irony of it, that here you have these young people that I can see so much potential in, and ironically, they feel utterly worthless, and they really struggle with their place in life, and I just kept hearing stories about them, whether it's self-inflicted injuries or suicide attempts. I kept hearing about that, and I just kept breaking my heart, and I could tell you a story about an event that kind of kicked off this journey for me.
Okay.
And I was preparing to speak at a retreat for high school students, and I was assigned the topic of the resurrection from John chapter 20 in the Bible.
Right.
And I usually when I go at a text about the resurrection, I think that I'm supposed to prove the resurrection and find all the details in the text that help to support why you should believe it. But as I opened up John 20 and was studying about the resurrection, it wasn't those details that kept standing out to me. The things about the text that kept standing out to me were the emotion, the emotional pieces, the parts about the text that showed that the resurrection was an event that took place within human crisis. And when Jesus came back from the dead, according to the scripture, he kept showing up in the middle of human struggle, like in the middle of Mary's sorrow, or the disciples' fear, or Thomas's doubt, or the disciples' failure later on. And I just saw the power in that.
Right.
And then I realized that the word resurrection literally means to stand up. And to me, that just became the strongest source of hope that we could ever have, because it means that somebody's always standing up for us, no matter what, no matter how bad it gets, he's there standing up for us. And so I prepared that message, okay, and God just put it on my heart. I just felt this burden to talk about suicide for some reason. I had never done that before, especially at a high school retreat, and I was starting to second guess myself whether I should do that. But I decided to go for it. And it was a day before the retreat when I got a call from one of the other pastors who was bringing a group of students to the retreat. And the pastor said to me, he said, "Sam, one of my students just took his own life." And I thought,
wow.
After I processed that with him, I just thought, wow, God had been working something in my life apart from that situation, preparing me for that moment and for that retreat for the group of students. And so I headed off to the retreat, and I gave that message that was on my heart, and I was just overwhelmed by the response. And I got to see firsthand how many students really were suffering from despair, and all the while I knew that there was an answer, that someone is standing up for us. So that kind of kicked off my journey.
Wow. Well, let me give you sort of a real life, and I know you deal with real life situations all the time, but let me give you in my world, where we deal with ex-offenders on this program, a very common scenario, and I'd like to know what you would say to these people that are in this situation. Here would be the scenario. And by the way, Sam, this is very common. You have somebody coming out of prison. They're not yet 30 years old. They've been to prison for some sort of sexual offense, which makes them a pariah. They can't find a place to live. They may be living with their parents. They can't find a job. They can't regain their independence. It seems that way. How would you speak to someone in that situation?
I can't even begin to understand that, to get my mind around it all. But what I know just as a pastor, that's my calling, that's what I do. I would first and foremost just let that person know that they are not without hope, that it is there no matter what. And that's not in any way to minimize what they're going through.
Right.
Not at all. Because when Jesus came back from the dead, he showed up in just horrible situations. And that's kind of like I like to call it an alien hope, a hope that's kind of foreign to us, that's outside of us. So it's not contingent on the situation that we're in or how bad our life is, that we always have hope no matter what that's outside of us. So I would passionately and relentlessly point to that and let them know that they're not without hope, that something good is going, that something good can happen in their life, that God can work in their situation. And so there would definitely be that piece to it. But then there would be this piece of bringing them into some kind of place to belong, some kind of, whether it's a church or a small group of people who will give them a second chance and who will show them unconditional love and grace. That component about a group, in my mind, is key, because back to what I said earlier, it is a place for them to belong, and then it's a place for them not to feel as a burden, because within a group or within a church, they will get to know how they can contribute to that group and what they can do, and they'll be able to give back, and they'll be very fulfilled at that.
Mm-hmm. Let me switch gears here just a little bit, and I'm sure that you come across this from time to time as well. We hear about people, or maybe we know someone who has made what we call, you know, quote, suicidal gesture, unquote. Is that person to be ministered to in the same way as someone who is, you know, contemplating taking their life? There must be some sort of a difference there. How do you address that, Sam?
Yeah, there are. And I'm not a specialist in this area, so I just want to make that very clear.
Okay.
But there are some differences that the experts will share with us. And there is a difference between a gesture and someone who may be a more serious, what they call candidate for suicide. Uh-huh. And first, you have to take both seriously. You absolutely have to take both seriously. But a gesture may just be a cry for attention, and if the person happens to be a part of a group, or they have had some success in their life before, and if they have not attempted it suicide before, then a gesture may not be as threatening, though you still have to take it seriously. On the other hand, a more serious candidate would be somebody who really has nothing to go back to, who doesn't have a place to belong, and who feels like they've failed in everything, and who has had a history of suicide attempts. And when you look at that person, you can tell that they may be able to pull it off.
Well, Sam, I noticed on your blog that you talked a little bit about hazing, and you got a really cool picture of John Belushi there, by the way. The point, as I saw it, was the bigger picture of having like an advocate. I think I already know how you're going to answer this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What would you say to someone who says they don't have an advocate? They don't have someone that stands for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I would want to be that advocate for them. First of all, that's just my heart. And again, back to the group, finding them, connecting them with a group, with a church. And that's what I know. That's my language. That's my context, is out of the church. And I'm a firm believer in the local church. I know there's a lot of bad stuff that has happened and a lot of dysfunction, but when it comes down to it, a lot of the human cries of the heart can be answered within the local church, because you have people who will accept you unconditionally, who will love you, who will provide for your needs, who will give you a place to serve and belong. It's just a great context. So I would point them to that. But even if all of that were not there, there is always somebody who is standing up for us, and that's, of course, Jesus. And not even death was able to take him away from us, because he came back. And He'll show up no matter what.
And that goes back to the verse in John 20, I believe you said. I don't know that verse by heart, but something about the stone being rolled away and Jesus was no longer there. I don't know the yeah. verse by heart, but okay. Well, hey, Sam, let me stop you right there. We're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have more with Sam Key. This is Suicide Prevention Month, September Suicide Prevention Month. Sam is an excellent resource, and we're going to come back and talk to him more about his book. Right after this, you're on the Journey of Hope.
Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
Hey, this is Rodney Mathers for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. You know, a lot of you have found a very productive way to deal with your downtime. Those of us that have wrestled with addictions know that this is very important, and a lot of you have learned to play some music. You've learned to play the guitar, or I hear about the banjo, or the mandolin, or the piano, the bass, but I want to tell you about a product out there that can help you with your playing. It's something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and the way it works is it teaches you something called the Nashville Numbering System. You can use this to play all different kinds of songs in every single key. It's a really cool tool, and you can get a free sample of it if you go to angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com, and you click on the link for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and you're going to get a free sample. It's going to give you a free page of how this thing works. I think you're going to enjoy it. All of you out there that are aspiring rock stars need to check it out. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and it's at angiesbanjo.com. To the Journey of Hope. We're talking to Sam Key. He has got just an excellent book out there and a lot of information on his blog, and we're going to give you how to get a hold of his book and how to get to his blog here in a few minutes. But the book is called 10 Reasons Why You Must Not Give Up, and remember that September is Suicide Prevention Month. Sam, when we went to the break, I kind of had to interrupt you there, but we were talking, you were telling me a little bit about that verse in John chapter 20. Yeah. Did you want to finish that thought for us?
Yeah. One thing about John 20 is that it outlines these three very relatable situations that we as people can relate to this. So, for instance, you have the story of Mary, who was this woman whose life was just a train wreck. And elsewhere in Scripture, in Luke chapter 8, we're told that Mary was once inhabited by seven demons.
Right.
And whatever that means, whether they're really seven or not, the number seven in Scripture means that of completion. So what we're to know is that Mary was completely messed up. She was a social outcast, an emotional outcast, a spiritual outcast. And so then along comes Jesus in her life, and he was the first person finally to accept her and to give her unconditional love. And so she was starting to experience this great healing in her life, but then one day they killed him. They killed Jesus. They took away the only source of life and belief and love in her life. And so now you have this Mary who was once so messed up, and she's back at the tomb mourning the loss of the first one finally to love her. And she is just utterly trapped, paralyzed by her grief.
Right.
And nothing can budge her from that position of grief and sorrow. And it says that she's weeping. And it says that she even sees two angels outside of the tomb, and those don't even faze her. She is that much wrapped up in sorrow. And then she even sees Jesus himself, and he talks to her, but she still doesn't recognize him. She's still so trapped by her sorrow. And it wasn't until he calls out her name and says, Mary, that her eyes are opened, and she sees that it's really him. And then the text details for us that Jesus was standing up. He was resurrected in her situation. And I could go on about the other ones, about the disciples. It says Jesus was standing up in the middle of the disciples' place where they locked themselves. Or to Thomas, Jesus stood up in the midst of Thomas's doubt. And so the scripture keeps telling us about the stand, about this guy who stands up no matter what we're going through. And he says, no, I'm not going to let this continue. I'm going to provide a way for you to get released from whatever fear or problem or sorrow is trapping you.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a preview of some of the 10 reasons that you talk about in your book? Maybe a little synopsis, a little peek?
Yeah, absolutely. The book is called Hope Stands, 10 Reasons Why You Must Not Give Up. And the reasons are... they're intentionally put, they're intentionally titled, and I'll tell you why. There's a lot of books out there that basically give us how-tos. They merely give us what we can do, you know, and right. So then we have to read the chapters and try to carry out what we're supposed to do in order to be better people. And that's good, and it has its place to have the how-tos. Right. But this is a book that says, no, I don't want to tell you what you can do. I want to tell you what has already been done for you. And to the person who's hopeless, that's what they need to hear. That's right. What I need to hear. I need to hear what's going right in my life. I don't want a list of things that I need to do in order to achieve rightness, because, quite frankly, I don't know if I have the energy. I don't know if I can, but tell me what's been done for me. So... in comes the chapters, and I'll just read the titles, and you're meant to hear them as, this is what's going right in your life.
Okay.
So reason number one is, something good is happening. Reason number two, or chapter two, is, you are freed from your greatest enemy. Reason three is, you are loved. Reason four is, someone is standing up for you. Reason five is, you are released from sorrow. Reason six, you are released from fear. Reason seven, you are released from doubt. Reason eight, your future is not failure. Reason nine, your purpose is restored. Reason 10, you are essential. So again, it's meant to feel like all the stuff that is going well in our lives and what Jesus, what God has done for us.
Well, Sam has a really cool blog and a web page. The videos are just absolutely excellent. Where can we find the web pages, and how do we get your book?
Yes. The main book website is hopestands.com, all one word. And my blog is my name, samuelkey.com. And you can find links then to the publisher. The publisher is Ellicor Publishing House, and they're doing a great job with the book. And in November, it'll be available nationwide on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and things like that.
Okay. Samuel Key, Hope Stands, 10 Reasons Why You Must Not Give Up. Sam, thank you so much for being here today. Very valuable information. I think you helped some people today, and we appreciate you being on the Journey of Hope.
Thanks so much, Rodney.
My name is Rodney Mathers. We'll be right back after this on the Journey of Hope. Hearing from y'all out there, you can catch me at Mathers Rodney matersrody@yahoo.com. That's MATHERSRODEY at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. That's all we have time for this week. I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Samuel Key. His book called Hope Stands, 10 Reasons Why You Must Not Give Up. And I want you to look over there next to the podcast where we've got links to his blog. He's got some free videos that are excellent, and you need to check them out. They're very cool, and I highly recommend the book. Listen, I want to remind you of something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.